Well, Brent is gay, and Caitlin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. Jesus, it's Homo Superior. Welcome to another amazing Homo Superior Creator Crush. I'm Adam, and co-hosting with me today is our very own resident snazzy kitty drag performer, Ryan Krull. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
You snazzed it up all year long last year.
I did. I used the costume multiple times. Yeah,
Creator Crush is an interview series where we chat with our favorite nerddom creators and entertainers, learning more about their work, their thoughts on the industry, and what makes them so darn special. Today, we're joined by two incredible entertainers. First is the Chanteuse of Southern Maryland. She's a cosplayer, she's a Watch award-winning actor and nominated costume designer. It's Demanda Martini. Boop, boop. Welcome,
woo!
Demanda. We hope you survive the experience. How are
Yes,
you?
very excited to be here. Thank you.
And then we are joined by the queen of all nerds. She's a cosplayer, performer, artist, and self-described world's oldest living house cat. It's Dax exclamation point.
That's me. I'm a cat. Oh my God, meow.
Yeah,
Is, I don't know. Is that a tagline? I don't know.
that would be,
Okay.
I
I
think
feel like
she
it works. I
cat stuff.
don't know.
I'm a
Cat
cat.
sound.
We'll send you the voice clip. Yeah, so thank you both so much for being on. We really want to dive into all sorts of the wonderful things that you are doing in drag, cosplay, and beyond. We also want to talk about your expertise, but first, we're going to get into your origin stories. So probably, let's say, starting with Dax, how did you get into cosplay and doing drag?
Oh geez, that's
How much time do we have?
which
I
came first? Was
know.
it
Girl,
the
I
egg
mean,
or was it
as
the
lit.
chick?
First of all, I don't do chickens or eggs.
Okay, I mean, like, if you really want to get back into it, I mean, like, I've been doing drag and cosplay and nonsense since I was like 17-ish, 18-ish. And that's, don't do the math on that because that's just rude.
So last year is what.
Sure, Dan. So I kind of began when I was in college. I was Santa College of Art Design for Sequential Art. So I went to college to draw comics. That was a choice that one made. One said, I want to draw Batman, and so let's pay lots of money to then learn to do that and then never do that. And I kind of began doing Rocky Horror Picture Show originally when I first got to college. I helped begin a cast in Savannah, Georgia called Pure Antimatter, which is still going on now. I was Frankenfurter for many years of my life. And that kind of led me into, working into queer clubs and queer environments, dancing on boxes first, go-go dancing in costumes, and no one got what I was doing at all. They were like, wait, why are you wearing a themed outfit? I was here for jock straps. And I'm like, but I'm going to be looked at, so let's wear some shoes. I don't know. It's a thing.
Like, I'm
And that
Goblin
kind
King
of,
Havoc. Just let me wear
I
this.
mean, like, listen, when you're 22 and anorexic, you have a few options. Be nude for money, or be nude but in heels for money. These are the options. So I chose the latter, obviously. And that kind of beget me into like just like getting into drag more and more and being, raised by older drag queens and older queer elders and whatnot. The cosplay kind of came in because the whole reason I was doing it to begin with was because I wanted to be Storm. Like that was my overall arching theme, was that like I just want to be Storm anyway. So one day I just was like, what if I just do that? And then I did. And
That's called self-actualization. That's
to my
incredible.
chagrin, it actually worked. Yeah, it took 10 years, but it made sense and it worked. And it kind of went from there, really. I mean, all of my like fashion inspirations and all of my like aesthetic inspirations were always from like women in comics, like whether it was Storm, Selena Kyle, Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor, Emma Frost, like Susan Storm, obviously, the goat, let's be real. All of my inspirations came kind of from those characters. So I just kind of stopped trying to be a Rihanna impersonator for a second and be like, what if I just did what I want to do? And people were actually into it. They actually got what I was putting down. And I was shocked because, again, I began doing drag at a time when, like, comics and superhero stuff and like the MCU didn't exist. People weren't like fans of it. You got bullied in public
Yeah.
for, liking comic book stuff. It was hard to find an X-Men t-shirt. You couldn't go to Target and be like, oh, like X-Men t-shirt, that's fine. It wasn't an option. So it's like people even like knowing who these characters were few and far between. And only until after I wore the costume would they come up to me and say, oh, hey, I love Susan Storm. I love Catwoman. I love Harley Quinn. I love whatever. And it's like beforehand, it's like, you said nothing for 5 years. Like, you weren't even there. And it just kind of like kept happening because with drag having a real life, you already have two wardrobes. With drag or real life and cosplay, you now have three wardrobes. So the more levels of drag or niche drag you add on to that's another whole wardrobe. So it's kind of hard to
Where do you store it all?
I have a drag room. I also have many old broken suitcases that I keep in a storage room. They are not labeled. They are not organized. It's kind of a roll the dice moment when I have to like look for like a certain bra, but I'm like, I know I stoned this bra for this one character, and I know she's here somewhere, so I would never throw that away. But which suitcase is
Is it
she in?
in?
Because they're all broken and they're all just like in a closet piled up.
Fill
It's a whole
this
thing.
stuff.
It's a whole thing. But yeah, I mean, like, it's just like, it's like, I started cosplaying before cosplay was a thing. Before cosplay had like a legit name to it. It's just like people kind of referred to you as like one of those weirdos who goes to cons and wears a costume. It wasn't
100%.
like a lucrative, marketable
Well, the one that sticks in my
thing,
mind all the time was like, I don't know if you remember MTV True Life. There was that, like, I'm a Star Wars fan, and there was that guy who wanted to bring his son on, and then they dressed in stormtrooper outfits. I would have lived to have that. I would have, like, killed to have that fucking dad.
See, like, here's the thing. It's like when that happened, like that was like to me, I was like, oh, that's old news, only because my first convention was Dragon Con in Atlanta. I was 7 years old. Dragon Con at that point was only like the America's Mart and one hotel. A lifetime membership at that point costs like $300 for a lifetime membership.
Ever.
And at that time, it's like, that's an insane amount of money. Who would ever pay that? So of course I didn't push for it. I never said, Mom, it's Christmas. Ugh. That
Got
was never a thing I did. But looking back, I'm like, oh, that shit's worth like $4,000 now. So
it.
maybe she should have had a moment. But yeah, I mean, like, it was that, and that's how I grew up with like with conventions, like going to like little small middle of nowhere, just random conventions where no one got you, no one knew what was going on. You were one of like maybe like 25 people in the room, and you were in costume. Like I went to a Xena convention when I was maybe 14, and it was in like a DoubleTree Hotel ballroom. They have ballrooms apparently. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
No idea. And it was me and like 50 lesbians, and everyone was dressed as either Xena or Gabrielle. End of list.
Course.
Like,
Ave, yeah.
that was
Well.
the day. It was a one-day convention. It cost $15 to get in, and it was just like,
Which one were you,
cool.
Dex? Were
Like,
you
oh,
Xena or
I was
Gabrielle?
not in costume at that point. I was in high school. I had literally no money, so that was not happening for me. But I was just like, I love Xena. You love Xena. Let's hang out. It's fine.
It's such a weird secret society that you were, especially early on. Now, like, everyone's a nerd and they're like, it's so fun to love. And you're like, oh, really? It's
It
such a
wasn't
weird
though. Like
experience.
for the longest time, like it was not fun to be a nerd. It was something you had to like really love so hard that you're willing to be ostracized from society. You had to be alienated. You had to be left alone. You had to like, let people like be willing to accept that people are going to look at you like you're just a crazy person.
Are
But
you talking about cons
meanwhile,
or the queer experience, Dax?
you could both it, girl. You could both it. But meanwhile, someone's still asking you at lunch period, like, can you draw me as a quarterback for no money? And it's like, no, Dwayne, I can't do that for you because you know what? My time still is valuable worth of money. Like, it's still like, it's like, even then, it's like, I still was like, I was not even like selling my art to kids like in school because I'm like, first of all, you don't respect me. You don't like me anyway. So why am I talking to you to begin with? Sorry, you open a can of worms?
Oh no, it's good.
Your
But I
fault.
do think that's a great time to say, Demanda, what is
Yeah.
your secret origin story?
Make it positive. Could you possibly? No.
And Demanda, specifically for you, what you've gotten pretty niche with your cosplay slash drag, which I'm obsessed with. What was that journey like?
So what got me into just nerd stuff in general. So I grew up with three brothers and we watched, cartoons together. We played G.I. Joe's, like G.I. Joe was like our big thing growing up or for the longest time. And we went to so my family is from Utah. I grew up here in the D.C. area, but my family's from Utah. So we went out there to visit my cousin, and my cousin is a big nerd. He introduced us to, so not Dungeons and Dragons, but for all of you like nerds out there, we played Rift,
Sounds familiar.
which is a
Girl.
which is another which is another
Girl.
RPG.
It's like if I say Star Trek, you say to me Red Dwarf. That's what just happened. That's what just
Right.
happened.
So anyway,
always niche with this
Yes.
one.
Girl,
So anyway.
she's a Stargate, if nothing else.
So he had collected the very first Marvel trading card series, and so like even like when we played role-playing games or stuff, I always enjoyed like reading about the characters and like what like who they were and like looking at the pictures and like finding out like backstories about stuff. So like the trading cards were like just like a little snippet of like that person's backstory, what their powers were, like that kind of stuff. And also on those old trading cards, like that first series, they had like how many battles they fought and how many they won and how many they lost. And it was
Yeah.
such a like what a weird thing to put on there. I've told the story many times, but I came across it was drawn by Art Adams, and it's Kitty Pryde holding Lockheed. And I was like, who is this pretty girl with this big brown hair holding a purple dragon? I'm obsessed. And so I was like, like read the back of her card and I was like, oh, okay, so she's on this team called Excalibur, kind of connected to another team called the X-Men. Cool. And so as I was continuing to go through his cards, I also came across Phoenix, Rachel Summers, and Nightcrawler. And I was like, these people all look cool. And oh my gosh, like these three people that I'm drawn to are all on the same team. That seems so cool. And he had the only issue of Excalibur that he had was Excalibur number 11, which is the issue where they fight the Nazi Excalibur and then get sucked into the Crosstime Caper. Don't
So
worry about it. It's complicated.
was that your first issue officially? Because
So that's the first issue that I owned. The first, and so then when I got home, and as we were driving back home across the country, I bought because we went into the store and I saw they had the Marvel trading cards, but it was the second series. And I remember in that package, and I still have the cards, was Firestar and Silver Sable. And I was like,
Okay,
obsessed. Yeah.
but which Silver Sable? The Joe Jusco?
No,
Because
no, no,
that's the
no,
good
no.
one.
Hold on.
She's getting in.
It's
Because for
a show
me,
and tell. A
this
show and
one
tell is
right
happening.
here.
I
Oh my
have that one. I love
God.
that one so much. But like
I
for me, it was
remember.
definitely like it was like my mother was a smoker for most of my life, and then she, quit recently. And but either way, when I was a kid, we would stop at Quick Trip after school to get a pack of cigarettes and a horoscope. That was what we did. That was our ritual. It's what, like, and then one day I was like, "What's this rack of comics?" And so I thought for years after the fact that Wolverine was a girl because it was Hellcat on the cover of a Wolverine issue. And I was like, "Who is she though? Who is she?" But then
Well,
of course
now
it
she
was.
is.
Then
We've
now
come
she
full
is.
circle.
Now she is. Sorry, sorry.
By the time we got home, we went to a comic book store, and I, with my own money, so the very first comic that I ever bought was Excalibur 40, which is the Trial of Lockheed, which incidentally is also the or like the retelling of the origin of Excalibur, which is like what a perfect issue for me to
Needed.
then like get into. So that sort of like started me on my like journey, and like I kept collecting trading cards and the comics. And so by that point, like X-Men number one had just come out. And so like I was hooked, I was obsessed. And then very shortly after that, they announced that there was going to be an X-Men cartoon. I was like, a cartoon specifically for me, not for anyone else, but for me specifically. So I've always been a I would say the most like mainstream character that I am obsessed with is Wonder Woman. If I could show you, so like you guys see all my X-Men stuff behind me on this thing. If you could see my desk, it's covered in all Wonder Woman stuff. Like I love Diana. She's great. But also like the reason I think I'm most obsessed with her is because she was the only female character for such a long time that ever got any kind of merchandise or promotion, or she had her own TV show, all of that stuff. So there's always so much Wonder Woman stuff. So I think that's why I like her specifically. But I've always been like an underdog person. If you go through like all the things that I've liked, so New Kids on the Block, for example, my favorite was always Jonathan because he never got a solo. My favorite,
Choices. Choices.
right. My favorite Spice Girl, again, like at this point in like time, it doesn't quite read the same way, but like the first single for Spice Girls, Victoria doesn't have a solo on that song
Because
because
she shouldn't. Because she
she's
shouldn't.
right. Well, we know
first of
why.
all,
We know
her
why.
solo album is incredible, so she's actually a great singer.
I mean,
But
that's a way to look at it. That's
so the
true.
reason, again, as someone who's read all of their autobiographies, she wasn't there because she had some sort of family emergency that came up the day they recorded Wannabe, and so
It
she
was a
just wasn't in the
shoe
studio.
emergency. It was a shoe-related
Isn't she?
emergency.
But anyway, so like Victoria was always my favorite. So I've just always been like obsessed with like these like not as popular characters or whatever. And so like Excalibur was like that perfect thing for me because it was X-Men, which was quote unquote popular. But Excalibur was like the team that wasn't popular. So it wasn't X-Force, it wasn't X-Factor. Even X-Factor was more popular, which I was like, really? The government team?
Hilarious.
Well, I
So
always felt like Excalibur, like the British magic angle, that as a younger kid, like that never sold me either. So I appreciate the nicheness of your thing,
I
but
mean,
that's what I know the least of.
they're the Torchwood of the X-Men universe. It's fact.
Yes,
100%.
exactly. Oh my
Which
God.
we love Torchwood.
Of course.
Right.
Is she Doctor Who? She's not.
So that's what got me into stuff. And then drag and cosplay, like it kind again, chicken or egg, it all kind of like rolls into the same thing. I went to school for theater. I've always loved dress up and being other people. I've always been inspired by all the female characters that I've been obsessed with, for all of my life. So it just kind of like stacked on top of each other and just sort of exploded into stuff. And again, I the reason that I love the niche cosplay, the Z-listers, like the one Polaris look that I have is Bride Polaris.
The tangerine of it
Oh
all.
yeah, the tangerine of it all is because like the people who get it will be like, oh my God, I can't believe like this is happening. Like this is so incredible. And the people who don't get it are like, I like this look. It's interesting. I have no idea what it is. I'm like, do you have 10 minutes? Because I would love
I
to tell
tell
you
you
all
as
about
someone
it.
who's seen it happen in real time, like the ones who get it, they lose their literal nuts. They lose it every time. They're like, "There's one issue, there's one panel. You're wearing it right now. What are you like?" They're looking up with the Lego pieces, the phalanx situation. What's your name? What's your name?
Phalanx?
Phalanx
The
Lego
one with
pieces.
like the legacy virus pieces all over you, the Lego pieces all
Oh,
over your
Candy
body.
Southern.
Candy Southern. I always forget her because everyone always forgets her,
Right.
but Demanda doesn't.
Accurate.
Man is not like the man would never.
Yeah, so like I think the reason people at FlameCon when I wore Candy Southern really knew who I was because I was sitting at Connor from Cerebrocast table. And so of course all of those homosexuals know who Candy Southern is because they listen to the show. So like, oh yeah, no, I know who that is. Which was really awesome.
But the dumbest look you could ever wear in public. Like the
I
Lego
mean,
pieces just
I don't know.
dripping off your shoulder. Which is
I
like,
also wore
whoa.
Zaladin that weekend.
Right. That's I
Again,
remember. That one I
again,
remember.
niche on top
that
of niche,
look.
which I really appreciated.
And it's also like her stupid like Z on her chest. Just dumb.
It's the stupidest design. And like that's what we get along so well is because we both appreciate like really stupid design costumes. We love like when it's like a ridiculous costume that makes no sense, is wholly unwearable, but we're gonna wear it on our
Yeah,
body.
is it gonna make me uncomfortable? Is it gonna dig a hole in my forehead with this headpiece? Is it
Yup. Yup.
yes, that I want it on my body.
put it in. Let's go. Like, let's just get this over with. Because I mean, like, we both have mini costumes where like we end up with like welts and like bruises and things.
As,
and we're
as
like,
someone who
this
has had
is
to
fine.
Cut her has had to cut her out of her Batman Returns costume twice.
First of all, no. Okay, the zipper broke. You sewed
no,
it
I'm talking about
it.
When you then wore it to Dragon Con.
But you so. But I had to. Yes. Did I white out? I did. Was it worth it? Who knows? That's fine. Like, but like, then you put me like back into it later in a different, whole different thing. And honestly, it needed to be done. And was I in the whole night? I was in the whole night with my shoes on and my mask on, and I was fine. I wasn't fine. It hurt a lot.
She was not fine when she when someone walked her into our room and Dex was like, isn't it? And the thing is, like, she wasn't even drunk. It was that it was so hot in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was Atlanta in August. And I was wearing plastic hair, double corset rainbow. It had to be done. Thank God for those metalheads in the parking lot who just carried me into my room.
Right. It was wild.
You can always find boys at a convention who will just be like, who will just like pick you up and carry you to your room.
Oh,
not always, but.
Also, shout out to Jezza Smiles, who has also carried both me and Dex before.
Yeah,
needed to be carried someplace.
He was the one who found me at the doorway because the metalhead from the parking lot carried me to the hotel. And then at the doorway, Jezza Smiles was there and he was like, hey, Dex. And I was like, hey, girl, I'm fine. I was fine. Physically passed to someone else.
Well, so this is just, that's like just one of the war stories that you two are, you could share, obviously, but like what the origin story of your actual friendship? Like when did you all meet?
Amanda, go ahead. Go ahead.
So
how much time do we have is what I
think. Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
So we used to work for an organization that is no longer with us. And I went to be in a costume contest, a cosplay contest, for it, and Dax was one of the judges, and I won.
Yelled out, well, first of all, don't give me power and a free bar tab, like one or the other. These are your options here. So what had happened was I was one of the judges and they had a free bar tab, and when judging came down to it between Demanda and like some like pseudo twinks and jock straps, I was like, the drag queen obviously. And that happened.
and so from winning that competition, I got to go to conventions with that organization, and Dax was also there. And so the first time like we really hung out, this is one of my favorite stories to tell because this is like really what solidified our friendship. So again, it's the first con. It was BlurredCon 2018. And so I had been, because I had not, As one says, I had not learned my worth yet. And so they asked me to be at the booth in full drag at 9 a.m. And so what did I do? Got
said
in drag
yes.
by
said
9 a.m.
Yes.
and went down to the booth and was there all day.
Running shit, like picking up slack. People were like leaving, taking breaks, going off to like fuck strangers. Like,
right.
And I was like living my life. I was like walking around the convention. I was over here, I was over there. And like, I kept coming back and I'm like, girl, you're still here.
We're still here.
Right. Like, why are you still here? You're
in so when the floor closed, Dax literally just looked at me. She's like, so where are we drinking? And I was like, girl, you're right. So we sent our twink friends to go buy booze, and we went back up to my room, and I changed because Dax still had a late panel. So I was getting out of my giant Captain Green Lantern costume and put on like a little like Star Wars dress.
No, you were in Scatterbrain then.
No, because Scatterbrain, I
was
died
the next
in
day.
My room
was
and
the
was
next
the next day.
Day.
Because you're like, let's go
day.
Hang out. And I'm like, girl,
you're
I'm
right.
yellow.
You
I'm
were in the big collar piece. You were in the big, and I was like,
but
and I don't know what I was wearing, honestly.
So, you were Batgirl that day. The day that we hung out, you were Catwoman. So we went to Dax's late night panel. So we had been drinking for a couple of hours at this point, having a great time.
A regular amount of hours.
Yes.
We're stumbling through bushes, falling down the stairs.
That happened later. Are you a camera? What's happening?
Yeah. So after our panel, we get back up to my room and we're hanging out. And I decide, I'm like, I'm going to get out of drag because we're in my room. And so I go into the bathroom, de-drag, take a shower, yada, yada, yada. When I come out, Dax, who is still sitting there perfectly as Catwoman on the bed, looks over at me and goes, Demanda, you went into the bathroom a beautiful woman, and you came out a thumb. I fell to the floor laughing so hard. I was like, that is the funniest thing anyone has ever said to me. Also the meanest, but the funniest thing anyone has ever said to me.
But to be fair, we all laughed.
Yo, yeah, oh, yeah, again, it was like, definitely because that well-intentioned
it
shame.
It was that kind of stress shower where you're like, get it off of me right now.
Yeah.
It was that kind of like, I hate it. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it was the fastest shower. And it was like, and we could hear her outside. And she was like yelling at herself for even doing it to herself.
It was like
she was like fighting herself in a shower stall because she chose things she chose.
Right.
And I was like,
I mean, if you all aren't aware, drag is painful, and when you're
and so
like as you're in it throughout the day, you just kind of get used to it, and your body just sort of like acclimates. Yeah, yeah. And also, you carry the extra water bottle that Adam found out about at FlameCon.
Yeah, and like people always forget that, like, you know, like sort of like drag at a convention, it's like especially as you get older, there's a lot fewer things you can really do. You know, like you can't wear the bigger heels, you can't wear certain shoes, you can't wear certain, you know, kind of course. It's like I have some costumes that I've worn at conventions like for, you know, 12 hours straight, where I'm like, I would never, I would absolutely never in a million years do that again. I mean, like, even like my Hellcat costume, it's like even though it's like a yellow bodysuit and some boots and some gloves, it's really two bodysuits that are both compression based, because yellow is a very sheer pigment.
Right.
The gloves have claws built onto them, so I can't use my fingers at all. There's a mask made of full EVA foam that only holds moisture in on top of a wig. So there's that. The shoes are fetish shoes. They are not meant to be walked in at all.
Right.
Yeah, and no, you can't pee.
Right.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
You can drink water, but should you drink water?
Right. One of my favorite stories about like going to the bathroom in drag is I went down to Richmond to visit my best friend, and while I was down there, I met up with some cosplay friends to do photo shoot, you know, for content. And we're all kind of here, like, let's get some photos together. And so when we were taking the break, and like the couple went to for those people who know Geeky JP and Geeky Gay Guy, they don't do a lot of cons and cosplay anymore, but. They're still lovely. Love them.
But they're married. They're thirst traps. They're whatever.
It's yeah,
they're great. They're great. They're
they
great.
Took
they're
it
great.
Digital. They went digital.
They yeah, did.
So
in the best
so,
way
so,
possible.
So, yeah. So they went to their car to change. I went to her car to change. And first of all, she's a mom. She's been married for 10 years. She's got, you know, a shit ton of kids. And so she's like opening up like the juice box, aka a Moscow Mule in a can, and like putting the straw in it for me. And I'm like, oh, thanks so much. She's like, well, do you want me to go scout out like a bathroom for you? And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm like, no, I don't pee. And she was
We're
like,
not doing that.
She was like, that's so bad for your kidneys. And I was like,
oh, well, so
and
is
I literally
everything
looked
else.
At her and I said, what about what I'm wearing right now, which was the Scarlet Witch? I was like, what about this? Says that I care about what's happening to my body.
Listen, ancient drag queen prophecy. If they can't see it, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Because I mean, like, seriously, like the shit that drag queens go through just to be in public for any prolonged period of time is so much more than a regular person who's wearing jeans could just even.
Oh, 100%.
Like, even like compared to like, you know, cisgender male cosplay reasons, it's like. Whenever like I go to order like a dice up suit and they're like, do you want a crotch zipper? I'm like, bitch, for who? Bitch, for hoops. What are we doing here? And then I love going to cons where like I'm like, you know, hang out with like some spider bro who's in like a onesie and like flat shoes, and they're like, it's so hot.
Yeah.
Right. Girl, I'm so hot and uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, are you?
You're 145 pounds soaking wet, maybe at the most.
Do you just throw your titty plate at him? You're just like, put this
girl,
on.
We don't even do that. I mean, all I'm wearing is like either like batting, polyfill, foam rubber, or
that sounds like a lot of stuff.
Oh no, yeah. The layer you're seeing is layer number 8. So
right.
You could, and also I'm wearing a plastic hat made look like hair. It's not even like
what
nothing
is
in your breeds.
What is your worst outfit that? Maybe some of your most favorite,
oh.
but what
oh,
is
I'll
your
tell
worst
you, I'll tell you
favorite?
Right now. For me, it's definitely like my Jim Blunt Catwoman costume. I love it. I think it's great. It looks amazing. My cowl is made of like 1.5 inches thick of rubber. So, no, I can't hear you. Is it technically too small for me? Yes, but not really. Like the cowl itself fits my skull. But then when I add the wig to it, that is not the option anymore. And that's plastic already. So, will it leave a mark between my eyes? Yes, it will. Is it gorgeous? Is it choking me the whole time? Sure. Will I take it off? Under no circumstances. It's never happening for you. My hands are covered in claws, so I can't use my fingers for any reason whatsoever, which is a panic attack in its own. Stiletto heels in general with a thigh-high boot, like that's done. And a lot of times, I'll either glue or sew the gloves onto my arms so they
Oh my
can't slide down
gosh.
when I'm walking around. So like when she's in it, she's in it.
So you
Oh
like
my
cut
gosh.
yourself out sometimes?
No,
Yes, every
you'll
time.
just tack it up and then you just snip the little thread.
But still, you need a friend to do that because I'm right-handed. So,
Use your little claws on it, maybe?
nope, they're not actually functional. They're not
Scratch.
actually
Yeah, no.
functional.
Not actually sharp.
They're
Good
just
to
made
hear.
of metal. They're not actually functional at all. My returns Catwoman costume, same thing. It's like the cowl has a Velcro release on the neck, at least. But like the body is again all plastic, so it has to be kind of like heated up with the blow dryer so I can get into it
Oh my God.
because it stretches, but
It's a
only
whole
to an
process.
extent. And then, but once it's on, it's on. Like she's on. But there's also a corset underneath, and then a corset on top. So this double
Mamma
corset
mia.
rainbow, and then literal fetish heels, and then also metal claws.
Good
So she's
Lord.
in it. Like peeing is not a question we ask ourselves anymore. Sitting down is fine, but slowly. Don't go
Lots
too fast. That's a
of
trap.
squeaking, I'm sure, based on the
Lots of
rubber and everything.
squeaking. And because like, it's cosplay, it's not like, like movie quality. It's like, even in the original one, Michelle Pfeiffer, she was vacuum sealed into her costume. I'm not doing that because mine is just like stretchy PVC. But like again, if the fabric is too cold, it won't stretch enough for you to get into it. And it's not the kind of thing where you can like powder into or like lube yourself into. It's not actually latex. It's PVC coated on a spandex, which is meant to be too tight, so it fits you too tight.
Perfectly.
But that's again over four pairs of tights, two layers of foam padding, fake titties, and a corset. And often I'll wear like a pixie cut wig underneath to round out my skull to make the cowl fit and look more cartoony and better. So it's
Well,
like,
do
even though you're seeing one thing, there's like eight layers minimum you're not even seeing.
Well, right, Demanda, you have to top that. So, do you have a nine layer outfit?
Talk about Cerise. Talk about
That was gonna be
Cerise.
mine. So Cerise is mine. I love the costume. So it's a Cerise from Excalibur redesign by Jamie Fay, which is incredible. I love the design. So Dax made all of my foam armor pieces, which are beautiful and amazing. She
So
helped me
good.
with the ponytail, which is great. I did the wig where it like sticks straight out from my head. It fell by the time it was time to take pictures, like it had already started falling. So like I'm
Because
not
of
super happy
reality,
with like
because
the
of humidity
pictures.
and reality.
The bodysuit, the only exposed skin, because
Is
so I
like.
have so is the titty window. And the rest of the bodysuit is made out of PVC and black pleather. So
Which
when I
is code
tell
word for
you,
plastic.
yeah, so when I tell you that when I zipped it off of my body, the puddles that were in my knees fell out. Like it was like literal water falling on the
And like,
floor when I took it off of my body. It was so, like, again, I was in it and I've only worn it. I wore it at day one of Farpoint 2 years ago. It was great. I'm glad I got the pictures. Jamie was thrilled about the fact that I had cosplayed his look. It was super great. Again, Dax did an amazing job creating the foam pieces, which
it
were,
was fun to do because I
yeah,
had to wrap
which
my head in plastic wrap and duct tape, and that was just
yeah,
hilarious and
it was,
painful for
and
you, not
again,
me.
like it looked really awesome. I do want to redo, so like on my head, not only because I had to do a base wig with like the pieces that jut out, and the foam helmet goes over top of that. and clips in, and then it's, you know, the, you know, however many layers that I wear underneath, you know, the bodysuit. It was so hot. It was, and so Far Point's in February. So like, even when I went outside to take pictures, I was like, you can see it in my face. I try to like pretend to have like bitch face, being like, oh, I'm an Amazon warrior woman. You can just see that I am just
dying. Yeah. Yeah. And like even like with Catwoman, it's like Returns Catwoman especially, the only exposed skin is my lower jaw. What's that gonna do for literally anyone? Like, what's right. that even for? I mean, that's what, like when I do Catwoman.
You're both just training up for breath play, is what I'm hearing. Man. You just gotta keep covering
But like not in like a weird way.
Or either way.
Not a shame, but I mean a little bit of shame. No. There is so much more to drag that you don't see than you do see. So that's why, like when people come for like drag queens online, people that only know like Drag Race and have never like, you know, touched a piece of wig in their entire lives, who have a lot of opinions about what drag is or isn't, or what, you know, is or isn't basic or isn't like whatever they see on TV, they don't really realize that, like, especially on TV, you're acting through it. You're pushing through it. Everyone's in pain.
Yeah.
We just don't say it on camera because we're not supposed to. But like in real life at a convention, it's like, that's why like a lot of my con costumes have become more like Star Trek based and more wearably based. It's only because it's like, I'm still wearing all the under layers anyway. It's just like on top, I want less plastic. That'd be great. So I can sit
that's
down.
That's what we all want. That's what we all want for the world.
Breathe, yes. You know, yes. Like that's all I'm looking for, you know?
So like for upcoming stuff, I definitely think about, okay, well, what shoes goes with this look? And
every look has own shoes.
Yes.
Every single look has their own shoes.
But at the same time, like, so the looks that I'm bringing to AwesomeCon for forever, or for example, I really want to be like, okay, like, let's, like, remember that, you know, we're going to be walking around a con all day. You know, we have an after party on Friday and Saturday. However, the shoes are really pretty, and so I'm just going to suffer. And
because we're talking about like I've been talking about doing Rogue for Awesome Con only because of, you know, X-97 happening, and my Rogue costume has, you know, I've worn it, but I've not in years. But the last time I actually wore it was Awesome Con. We were together, and I remember we took a picture of that very small child, and no, I was just like,
that's the Awesome Con before me. That was not.
No, you were next to me. Are you sure? Either way,
my favorite is how much Jamanda like just has saved every single memory that's happened to her ever.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's ADHD, the Taurus in me.
And I'm a Leo who's ADHD as fuck. So for me, it's like, what happened yesterday? Who cares? Let's go. I don't know. But no, what I'm saying is that, like, I've done that Awesome Con floor in 6-inch heels before.
Yeah.
And while did I survive? Yes. Was it easy or fun? No.
No.
It's concrete. It's homophobic as fuck. Like, it is. The shoes were cute. The shoes were very cute. My feet were not brutal.
So, my Saturday look that I want to do is Princess Python from the Serpent Society. And I have, so I call them like my comfortable pumps. They're not very comfortable, but I have them in like every color because they're leather, so I can dye them whatever color I want to. So I already have lime green ones that match the bodysuit. So I'm like, oh, well, obviously I'm going to wear those. And I'm just like, oh. And carry around a 9-foot plushy anaconda that I've stoned.
I love it.
You know.
Just normal things.
Casual. You know, just normal lady things.
Yeah. Are you doing a Britney Spears performance later that night?
That's what I said. That's what I said. She said no. And I'm like, why not?
Just for the uninitiated.
Like, what are we doing?
Just for the uninitiated, let's talk a little bit more about AwesomeCon as a whole. So it'll be happening again March 8th through 10th. It's a 3-day experience of Can't Miss Celebrity Guest, Comic-Con panels, screening, special events, unique exhibits, and wonderful cosplayers like Demanda and Dax in Washington, D.C. It's got every nerdy thing at once: anime, cosplay, manga, movies, latest and greatest in toys, games, and pop culture. So obviously you all are ongoing features. Is there anything that's, I know there's going to be like a Rosario Dawson and Hayden Christian panel. Like, are you trying to get any photos with people? Or are you trying to see something?
Justin Pussycat's panel is happening.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And so as someone who loves the Pussycats, perhaps too much, I am debating on either being Valerie Brown, who is, you know, obviously one of the like first black female cartoon characters to be the smart one in the group ever in history, or my actual emotional state of Alexandra Cabot, the mean girl who owns the cat. Because I'm that. Like, that's me. But, so, debatable. We don't know yet. We don't know yet.
Multiple days, hey?
I mean, yeah, but but you gotta make the choice. Like,
yeah.
Who are you? Who are you really, girl? Like,
Demanda, what about you? Yeah.
So, yeah, so, I mean, I'm gonna be there all 3 days. And they keep me pretty busy. People, so like one of our cosplay friends, Tranquil Ashes, shout out to her. She's amazing. She's commented to me several times, girl, I wish I could be as busy as you. How do you stay so busy? I'm like, because I'm an idiot and say yes to everything. Like, I'm going to be at the Capitol Pride booth. I'm going to be at the Uncanny Experience booth. I'm on, I believe, 2 panels. So like I'm gonna be busy. So
There's more.
Yeah.
Wait, girl, book I saw you out. You're booked to bless. I saw your promo on Instagram, and it was like at least 20 things happening in just one.
Right.
So I just know that with conventions and Demanda being as agreeable as she is, they will book her out once it gets closer to the date, and the con is like, oh wait, Demanda's here.
Right.
Let's add 14 more on to this.
So
she's fine.
So people are like, oh, are there guests that you want to see? I've only been to, I want to say like 2 or 3 cons in the years that I've been doing this where I haven't been like needed at stuff or like been somewhere where I actually got to like go like talk to guests. So like there's people are like, oh, is there anybody you want to? I'm like, who's even there? I don't even know. Cause
and honestly, I mean, when you get to like, you know, like doing cons with the Ouija cons, it's like, it feels almost weird to not be overly booked for panels and things.
Right.
Because weird.
It's another job.
Yeah. And I know for myself and I know for you that we plan around like our con experiences are planned around that. Like, so like going to a con for fun is absurd to me. It's just like, it's like, but no one's seeing me enough. I don't understand. Like, it just feels weird. Like the idea of like paying for a meet and greet. It's like, girl, let me into the green room. I got this. We're fine. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
And so I will also say like part, we've talked about this before. Like there's like that little bit of like drag privilege that we get at conventions.
It's a lot of it. And I love it.
But like, so because I've been, so like, It's still a guest. Like I still guest at conventions, but it's not like celebrity guests. Like I'm not getting paid, but I'm a guest at the convention. But like as a guest, like the first day of Farpoint, my table was right next to Cal Dodd, and I had a full 20-minute conversation with him about the X-Men.
Yeah.
Did I pay for this signed Wolverine? Uh-huh. I certainly did not.
Hey.
No. And Farpoint this year was great because like you know I got there the day after that. And so the table was moved, obviously, because they realized what we were doing.
Also, in Farpoint's defense, they, at last minute, had to move to a different hotel.
They did. And
find a hotel that had the exact same dates that they had. And that hotel is smaller than the hotel that they're...
But better. I felt it was better.
I liked it, but there were a lot of issues.
But I had a great time. But again, it's like the day that I got there, it's like when I got to you know your room to change into my costume, you were like, "Honey, Newsom already knows you're coming and she wants to meet you. It's gonna be amazing." And it was. I was like,
right.
I was walking by and she was like, "Bruh!" and calling out my name. So I was like, "Hey, girl, mm-hmm. I'm Mariner. You're a Mariner. Let's talk about Star Trek." And we did that.
And also like just like the cool part. So the first awesome con after lockdown.
After COVID.
And me and Dax and our friend Logan Stone, who's another guest at Awesome Con again this year. And our other friend Tiffany, so like me, Dax and Logan had to be at some random table. I don't even know whose table
it was like a cosplayer meet and greet guest.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a permanent table.
We were there for like an hour. But afterwards, yeah. We're like, oh well, Karen Ashley's here, and Dax and I have met and talked to Karen Ashley.
I was Eartha Kitt Catwoman that day. I was Eartha Kitt Catwoman that day, and you were
Darkstar.
You were Dark Starks when you first got Dark Star.
Yeah, and I was slowly getting a hole dug into
yep.
my
head. Yep. And my hair was slowly trying to like leave my head because it was like,
anyway,
I made it too top heavy. It's a whole thing. It's
but me and Dex were like, oh, well, let's go say hi to Karen. And
Logan Tiffany and, lost her shit.
Yeah, well, Logan and Tiffany were like, Karen who? And we're like, oh,
Karen Ashley.
Wow. We like know her. So we're going to go over and say hi. And they're like, Karen Ashley, like the Yellow Power Ranger. Like, yeah. So we walk over and there wasn't anybody in her line at that point. And so as we were walking up, obviously we're four drag queens.
We're 9 feet tall.
Right.
And Karen saw us and she was like, oh, hey girls, come on up. And she came out from around the table and told the her person who was like, her staff member to oh, can you get a picture of me with the girls? And also Karen Ashley is
a delight.
The sweetest guest that I've ever met. And
we've seen her at so many cons together, and every time she's like, Devanda, Dax, blah! Yes, and she's like, and she's here for the fucking moment. Like, she's here for it every single time. She will stop everything she's doing and be like, hang on, I gotta get up and go over here.
She's just so sweet and lovely. And again, it's just kind of cool that that now happens to me a lot with guests. Like, that happened to me with Denise Crosby, who is quite literally my favorite Star Trek character, Tasha Yar, of all time.
And the Trekkies, the Trek crews are always delightful.
They really go
I did a con with Case of Patton, and I did a panel with Marina Sirtis, and both of them were just fully delightful. They were like, hey girl, let's talk about stuff.
We have friends that are actually literally going on the Star Trek crew for this. It's wild how many people could go.
And I don't really do boats or whatever. I don't really want to, but I would do that cruise.
For Star Trek
cruise. It wasn't so expensive.
Now I want you to have the Xena cruise on the...
I would love a Xena cruise. I would love a Xena cruise. I will play Gina Torres in whatever role.
Because I don't want to go. I don't do boats. But I would love to have a camera to see Dax and Jessica on the fucking...
The Xena cruise?
So are
I'm Cleopatra, like, and she's
yes!
Oh my god!
Our friend Jessica Krause, who is a Xena cosplayer, and is incredible. I believe you guys met her at FlameCon.
Yeah, I was just about to say. I remember when she was around. She was awesome. She was so great.
Yeah, her completely accurate Xena costume is just the
so good.
Yeah, she was great, and she had the
handmade
down too.
Human hair wig is like, I'm like, have those bangs?
Walking around with her at FlameCon when she would do the Xena war cry, and it's like all the lesbians would go, did I hear the call of my people? What is going on?
Yep.
I do want to talk a little bit about the same weekend of AwesomeCon. We, Homo Superior, will be hosting an after party Saturday night at Trade on 14th Street. For anyone that knows the city, for our second annual House of X 2, we're going to be bigger, better, and badder with more music, giveaways, and two wonderful performances from both of you. So, Demanda, you performed last year. Can you give some folks some perspective on your experience and also what you might be bringing this year?
Yeah, so it was super fun. So it was my actual very first time ever performing at Trade, which was
really
so incredible. And so the other drag performers who are regulars there, like Jane Saw, Broken Hymen, and like that whole crew. So after the show, and when I was walking around, they're like, oh, well, you need to sign the wall. And I was like, what? So I got to sign the wall, and it was very cool. Everybody's just very supportive. So it's an awesome just dance party. I believe Kellen's going to be doing music again. So it's just a good time. I did not get a lot of time to talk to a lot of people because there were some folks who wanted to, shall we say, get all of my attention, which was a little...
and Demanda can't say no.
No.
I know, okay. I'm just...
Demanda does never say no. She's never once in her life said no. To me, she will. Because she thinks she knows me. So she will. But anyone else who's not me, Demanda will never say no. You got some mail opening. You got some dog food to be poured. Demanda will be there. She will say,
nice.
Yes.
Can you help me move, Demanda? I'm moving next weekend.
Amanda will help you with her SUV.
Stop volunteering me for things.
I don't have to. You'll do it yourself.
Anyway, I did get a chance to see some of the folks in the audience, because I've said this several times, like, me and Scott Free, even though we've now run into each other several times at many different conventions, we really never get to, like, hang out because we're always, like, on, like, at cons and, like, needing to, like, go do con things. And it's, like, we never have gotten the chance to just, like, sit and talk and, like, hang out. So, like, we were hoping to do it that night, but I think by the time that I was, like, done talking to the other people, he had already left. So, but anyway, it was so much fun. And last year I performed a new mix that I had made for that show as Disco Dazzler. This year,
so
I
believe good. I'm going to be.
Thank you. This year, I think I'm going to be bringing my Pink Betsy and doing a little number for everyone.
Yes. Slip Hop Miami, I assume. The whole album's only like 5 minutes, so you could do the entire song if you want.
The mix that I've made is very British pop.
Love.
So a lot of Dua Lipa. Got it.
Only Posh Spice's album, I assume. Yeah.
So Dex,
what are we gonna get from you?
Oh, unlike Amanda, I don't plan in advance because I have mental health issues. And also, I forget things a lot. I mean, listen, my goal is, because Beyonce chose to make me country as of last week, that I'm like, but what if I was Rogue? Like, I want to bring Rogue back so bad. I also really want to do a new Storm, even though I'm tired of being Storm, but I love Storm so much. Basically, my whole goal is to not be like a body paint color. That'd be my overall arching theme. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be Cat's Eye. It could be, and not Betsy, obviously, because I'm dancing Betsy. I don't know yet. So,
you're gonna take Amanda's snake and do Britney Spears.
I will not. But what if I was like a sexy maggot with Amanda's snake?
I love that. You can do maggot. So
again, body paint cosplay. Not Do I have supplies? I do. Will I do it? Probably not.
Can you bring the feral hair into something?
No. You know why?
It was so good.
Body paint cosplay. I gotta be.
Oh, god damn it.
Okay, look, listen. I could be feral for you guys if I can only do one number but still get paid the same amount of money. That I can do for you. Because I can't be two yellow characters because where's the reveal? Like, where's, like, oh yeah, she's feral, you're now she's March
more
Simpson
hair. What are you doing?
Yeah. And also the feral hair has been in a storage bag for a while, and she's been vacuum sealed.
It was amazing.
One of those broken suitcases, I assume, in the
closet. No a vacuum seal bag post Dragon Con 2023, was it? So, yeah, she's very flat. We don't know if she's going to survive. She might not survive. We don't know. I mean, she
doesn't,
like,
in the comics either.
She's in the iron lung. We don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, I have options, but I don't know what I'm doing necessarily yet.
Yeah, a little tease on that. Wait, if it's okay with you guys, we're going to do a speed round of questions for you at the end. Just firing out, any answers are good. I'll just name a question, anything, just whoever comes to mind is who you got.
Are you gonna focus on one or the other? Because otherwise it's gonna be like a crosstalk. Because
why don't we have Amanda first and then we can do Dax?
Format, love it.
So first and foremost, your favorite superhero of all time, and you guys might have already mentioned
Wonder Woman,
yes.
Storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Favorite fellow cosplayer. Don't choose each other.
I never want to hurt
one of your favorites.
Tranquil Ashes. I'll say it. Tranquil Ashes. Love her to death.
And I'm gonna say Jessica Krause.
Gotcha.
Good choice.
Favorite comic of all time.
Uncanny X-Men 256.
Uncanny X-Men 311.
Oh, wait, I love that you guys know the specific ones.
Dormin Yukio.
What? Yeah, for the folks who don't know. Yeah, for the folks who don't know, like not me, obviously, but like what are those issues?
So for me, mine is Storm and Yukio. Well, okay, Storm and 309. Storm is on her way out of the mansion to go meet up with Gambit and go to a bar and drink and also meet up with her friend Yukio, who hasn't seen him forever. And then she reconciles with Yukio. And then by 311, they're fighting the fucking Phalanx. And they're, like, hugging and holding each other really tightly and, like, having dramatic monologues together. And I'm like, yes, you're a lesbian. Be lesbian. Storm, Yukio, lesbians. Love it. That's the whole thing.
And Uncanny X-Men 256 is the infamous body swap issue for Betsy,
so fun.
Where she is brainwashed by the Mandarin. I like it not because
so
she
fun,
becomes
Ryan.
Asian.
Just such a blast.
I love it.
I love it because it's such a good deep dive into her character and why she is the way she is.
Yeah.
What is your favorite comic movie?
That's a good question. Amanda?
Probably either X2 or Days of Future Past.
Honestly, for me, Tom Holland's Spider-Man is my favorite like comic, like franchise in general. He became
really
like Spider-Man has never been like a comfort character to me. Well, no, he's actually always been a comfort character to me. I've never loved Spider-Man comics, but Spider-Man movies, I love Tom Holland's entire run. I can always watch him doing whatever. Number one, he's fun to look at. Number two, I just want to hug him. Number three, give that boy some soup. I don't know why, but soup. like, and also maybe a sweater. like, he looks cool. like,
well, that's a great transition. What is your favorite food now?
Food.
Pasta.
Sushi. I'm a Any nerd. I like sushi.
Specific roll, specific pasta type.
We're getting in.
Girl. Or maybe you're a nigiri girl or sashimi girl. I don't know.
No, I'm not. Yellowtail. Yellowtail. Let's go.
I'm fairly basic. I just like a good spaghetti.
Ah. A good spaghetti. spaghetti. Yeah, no, for me I'm like yellowtail. Plus tuna roll would be great. But yellowtail is always my like end all be all.
Also, sushi is always our go to. What we get after being a drug
addict. Yeah, yeah, it's the reward for like going through that much pain for so long. That's the reward.
What is your favorite sci-fi story?
Star Wars.
Honestly, Farscape.
Ooh,
good one. What a dark horse choice.
It's like you're caught up, Demanda.
I mean, listen. Janeway is the only way, but also, hear me out. Zan. I'm just saying. like,
Star Wars for me, like it was just like a family, like everyone in our family watched it. Our extended family, friends, like we watched it all the time. Also, when you are a family that drives across the country a lot, putting in the original Star Wars trilogy through Kansas is kind of the only way to survive.
Yeah, see, for me, it's like Star Trek was always like my go-to and always will be my go-to. But like, if I'm talking like actual favorites, as far as like character depth and like detail and like weirdness and nonsense, that would either have to be either Farscape or like Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Like, but Farscape has Muppets, so that kind of sets the stage because Rigel, while he's a racist piece of shit, he's also a Muppet. I don't know what to do. But Zan is the reason. And once she dies, I'm like, and now I'm done. And we are finished here. So, but then Aaron is just Leela from Futurama. And I love Leela.
100%.
So now I'm back to square one. I don't know what to do. But then John Crichton is like a hot fry. So like, is it Futurama or is it Farscape?
You'll find out it's Futurama.
because I am Leela. I am a Leela. It's Futurama.
I love it.
Yeah.
Who is your what is your favorite horror story?
Horror story. American. No. It's not. Demanda doesn't do horror. Demanda is
I would say Scream. I do like the Scream franchise. And I did like the new ones even until they decided to do some stupid shit. Yeah. But yeah, I'll tolerate the Scream franchise because it definitely mixes in like the campy elements of things. Yeah. But I typically don't do horror.
Yeah. For me, if I go old school, it's People Under the Stairs. Because I'm black. Because I'm black. That's like every black person is like, what's the first one that like really got you? People Under the fucking Stairs. I will say the new Chucky series, they obviously
It's so good.
It's so good and so queer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love you. Jennifer's Body, I live for.
Good because queer one,
cross out needy. But even a mean girl who's also a succubus, I'm here. I'm here for it. Let's get it together. I love horror secretly, I prefer campy horror. But favorite. Let's go with Buffy.
Ooh.
It's technically horror, but it's Buffy.
We'll allow it. We just won't allow Joss Whedon anymore.
How do you feel about a potential reboot?
Of Buffy? Okay. I'm so glad you asked. I was just talking with a friend of mine earlier because today, I don't know if you noticed, but Emerald Fennell, the director of Saltburn, released photos for W Magazine of Bear Keoghan as a vampire, as like a slutty short king vampire. And me and a friend of mine were talking, we were like, okay, but like a Buffy reboot, but with him as Oz. Like Bear Keoghan playing a like sexy guitar playing werewolf could seriously change the entire situation. but I want it to be him with like a 5'10 or up Buffy. Like no camera angles, don't change it. Short king werewolf in love with a 5'10 or up queen Buffy. Ideally black would be great. But if not, I'm fine with that too. Taylor Swift, not her, but someone like her, that'd be fine. That could change the situation because he looks hot covered in blood. So I'm into it. like, let's be real. I'm sorry, what was the question?
So we went up. Okay. I don't know if you guys watch any Bravo nonsense, but what do you have a favorite housewife?
Me?
So I'm pretty old school when it comes to Housewives because I used to watch it a long, long time ago. So like there was a day me and my friends binge watched an entire series of New Jersey and Atlanta. My absolute favorite of all time, because I dressed up as her for Halloween once and she liked and shared my picture, is Caroline Manzo. Because my family is thieves.
Well, see, like for me, it's like I'm old school. I like shows with writers and plot.
How dare you?
I hate seeing people that are rich spend money poorly and be terrible people. They're Ozempic is Ozemping, and I think it's disgusting. I don't support the idiocy of wealth, personally.
Fair.
We do have a big news part that we would want to hit on before we wrap up. We are an X-Men podcast. You are joining us just a week after Marvel basically said, hey, you think we're done? Go fuck yourself. And they released not only the trailer for X-Men 97, but also some additional information for Deadpool 3, Fantastic Four. But let's talk about this X-Men trailer. Did you flood your basement or did you flood your basement?
I loved it. I'm so excited for the new series. It was so awesome, the fact that I literally talked to Cal Dodd, and he was like, yeah, I think it's coming out on like March 20th, but I didn't say that to you. And I was like, I don't say anything, Cal Dodd. And then the trailer was released, and I was like, oh my God, like that's so awesome. So Val Cooper, I'm totally in. I'm super excited. I am super excited to see how this, is it Jean? Is it Maddie? Who's like, what baby is this going to be? Because I'm so excited. Like I'm all in all of the theories that everybody has. Speaking of that, I think I've been convinced by the X people that potentially did Sinister replace Jean a long time ago, and that this is
hopefully
pregnant Maddie, who doesn't know that she's Maddie. So like I'm in. I'm excited. I love the fact that they have made Morph queer to make Morph interesting, because who gave a shit about Morph anyway?
Literally no one.
And they also, cast a non-binary actor to portray them. It's awesome. So I'm in. I'm excited.
Nice.
I am cautiously optimistic, to be honest.
Glass half full, glass half empty.
Oh, I'm a pessimist by nature, so everything's always empty. Everything's always the worst. But what I am saying is that, like, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I want to know what they're going to do with Storm. I want to know if this arc with her having a haircut is going to be worth my time or just like a throwaway. Because it could have been a better haircut, let's be fully honest. You know, I don't know. I mean, are they going to just like follow?
Which mohawk? Like, is there a specific mohawk from her that you love the most?
Oh, I'm a purist. I love an actual mohawk, not a faux hawk. Because either do it or don't, girl. Like, do it or don't. Like, shave your sides or get out. Like, these are your two options. Don't like give me like a heavily gelled side sweep and then like just like some like cockatiel feathers on top. No. Commit or get off the pot. These are the options. Because I've always felt that Storm is like a zodiac. And as someone who was born under the Mohawk, I fully endorse and believe in the Mohawk. However, she's had other haircuts. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that like the Mohawk fully represents her in the 90s, in this era in her life. What I wish they had done was either like given her the Jim Lee pixie cut or the Joe Mad T-Boz XL. I would love. But not with the Joe Mad suit, with like the black version of the 90s suit. Because she wore that suit in different colors for the entire time period. Even like when I started reading X-Men in 93, it was already John Romita Jr. and the suit was gunmetal gray. She had double cape rainbow, she had braids, it was gunmetal gray. I wish they had like, if they're going through a whole like character story arc of like emotional change, the suit should change colors too. Because Storm's moods change with her outfits. And like when she's in different places, it will be like black or gray or purple or like slick back, like fully straight, or it'll be kinky and big, or it'll be braids, or it'll be like a weird M-shaped headpiece with like short sleeves and like a military belt across the front. Like Storm has so many costumes post 92 that I wish that they had like
maybe using.
Only because, like, I have so many Storm figures, and they're all in either one of two costumes.
Yeah.
They're in one, and I have a few that are obviously, you know, the 80s Mohawk costume, the 80s punk costume, but, like, without Yukio being there as a catalyst for that, what are we talking about? But, like, she didn't choose this punk look. She met a girl who changed her life and said, I'm in love with you, let's go fuck shit up. like,
can you imagine if they did that in the show? They're not going to,
be bisexual in the show.
Yeah, oh my god,
an absolute dream. It would never happen. The amount of people that have like lost their nuts over Morph, who can be literally whatever, and like it's like he's back from the dead, he has no nose, he's gray, he's bald, where his pupils, that I can allow. But Morph being potentially maybe non-binary, kind of, that's where I draw the line. Like, girl. like he was a plot device to begin with. He wasn't even like a thing. So I'm just saying, it's like, I wish that they had given her a different haircut. I really wanted the Jim Lee original like design pixie cut, which she wore with like the Mark Silvestri suit in general, but with like a short, like a high fade but with bangs. That was cute. That'd be cute on her. Something very like business hunty, like that. I want that.
All right. Well, we're going to be following up with your thoughts, certainly when it premieres on March 20th. Demanda, Dax, thank you so much for being on. We cannot wait to party with y'all at AwesomeCon weekend, March 8th through 8th through 10th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. But particularly at Trade Saturday night on March 9th, as Home Secure Podcast hosts its second annual House of X, awesome after party. We'll have two of you performing, Kaylin on the ones and twos, as well as folks from Geeks Out and the Uncanny Experience, giving away prizes for FlameCon and Uncanny Experience later this year. For the two of you, is there anything else you'd like to plug, and where can our listeners find you? Let's start with Dax and then go to Amanda.
Oh, I don't know. I'll be where Amanda is, whether she likes it or not. And
Amanda will be wherever you tell her, you ask her to be too, apparently.
No, Amanda keeps the spreadsheet. I have realized that like Amanda will just have it already anyway, so why bother adding extra emails to my emails? I don't know. But I will, you can find me anywhere online at Daxclamation. That's DAXCLAMATION. Yeah, Amanda, where are we gonna be?
So you can follow me across social media at Amanda Martini, DAMANDAMARTINI. So coming up for me, so are you getting in my suitcase to come to WonderCon with me?
How dare you? How dare you?
So I will also be going to WonderCon this year at the end of March, which I'm super excited about. I'm going to be a part of the Hellfire Gala Walk, which is going to be very cool. I will be doing a Mary Jane Watson with the cosplayer. Your cosplay dad will be doing a gender bent Felicia Hardy, which should be
See, that's the first mistake, because I should. You know what? I'm not going to LA. I'm not going to go to LA. That's fine. It's fine.
So then with Dax in May, we are going to be going to Portland, Oregon again to perform at the Homo Superior Queer Dance Party, hosted by or produced by our friend Evan. So just shout out to Evan. Evan and I have been friends since the early days of UncannyXMen.net forums in the early 2000s. He has a little foothold in the Portland queer community. And last year, the party was so awesome. We're super excited to go back. Portland is a weird fucking town, but it was a whole lot of fun.
And this year, we're welcoming Sina Grace with us to
Party. Yes. Sina Grace is going to come up and see the show. So super excited.
And Kevin Wada, I believe, is doing the actual flyer for it.
Oh, amazing.
I don't know whether or not Evan has... Talk about that.
We talk about Kevin Wada doing it anyway. It's fine.
Breaking news.
What I'm saying is, I just don't think that Evan has announced that yet.
Because
he's talked to us about it, but he hasn't publicly announced that yet.
Long story short,
it'll be our little secret. Don't worry.
We won't tell
you. You're a liar.
We are probably, at least Ryan, myself, and I think one of us will also be headed there. So we're excited.
We can't wait to see you guys. We'll be
at the
party. Honestly, it's a good party. It's fun. It's always held in like an abandoned skating rink.
It's like an abandoned skating rink.
I was about to say, a perfect place for a horror movie.
Last year, people wore roller skates dressed as Dazzler, and that was more than a few cosplayers versus Dazzler in roller skates, and we're just is fine.
it's a lot of fun. So this year's theme is going to be like the 80s X-Men based. So it's going to be super fun. So again, hope to see you guys there.
Yeah.
And then my other big thing is that since you guys have mentioned it, I will be at the Uncanny Experience in September. I will be performing. I'll be doing a drag show there. I'm not quite ready to announce who I'm going to be yet, but it's going to be really awesome and very niche, very Z-list, which is awesome.
I would never imagine.
But during the weekend, I am going to be Vertigo at the actual con. So it should be a good weekend. Me
right round, baby.
And as for us, we're on Twitter at Homo Superior X and on Instagram at Homo Superior Podcast. If there are any other great writers, artists, entertainers, all things nerd culturistas you'd like to hear us chat with, make sure to slide into our DMs. We've been Homo Superior. Thank you, Amanda and Dax. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, little homos.
Hey. Is that a thing?